Okay, here we are. Smoke is a little less today. Actually, interesting, it's 100 degrees, but some cloud cover has come in, and it's raining in Eugene, Oregon, which is about 2.5 hours north of here. Maybe we'll get some drizzles tonight, but it has cut down the searing aspect of the heat, but it's still hot. So we're seeing a little difference at least. Hot is hot, but clouds make it a little nicer. Now, what we're going to do, I promised last time I would finish up. Pardon me, I still have still smoke here. It's not as bad, but it's still here. We're going to finish up the interview that Daniel Cocotallo did. That's Tajlo, Cocotallo did. And it's quite a remarkable interview. I think you'll know if you heard parts one and two. This will be part three. I want to see how he finishes up. I have not heard this, but he is a former OpenAI employee. He is really smart. And if you've been listening, you know that. He is not mincing words. He goes where he doesn't want to go because that's where the facts and the data lead him. And that's called honest research. So let's go back to Daniel Cocotallo and listen to the final segment, and I'll be stopping and commenting if I think anything is worth extrapolating upon or elaborating upon, and we'll see. But this guy is really good. I think he's number one in terms of honesty, but more than that, in terms of painting a vivid reality of what we're coming up against. And it is really something. So here we go.
Well, jobs. Yeah. So I think I'm excited to at some point get into the new thing, which is the more optimistic, positive vision. And that will have a lot to say about this, because in the prediction, in AI 2027, by the time everyone loses their jobs, there are worse things happening. Or it's kind of too late by that point. But yes, once.
Now that's an interesting statement. I don't know exactly what he means. I don't think he's talking about world geopolitics and war, but he's insinuating something, worse things that can happen. I guess he's talking about AI and taking over. Let's see if he spends any more time on that. He might have mentioned it earlier in the interview. This is a one, hell, it's 2 hours long. I'm not sure we're going to get through it here, but let's see what we can do. But that was an interesting comment.
If, I mean, just think about it. If the companies do manage to build superintelligence, then by definition, they're going to be able to take almost all the jobs or all the jobs, right? Because it's better, faster, cheaper than the best humans at everything.
He's correct. ASI is going to be better, faster, and cheaper than humans at virtually everything that humans perform in terms of work and employee relationships. But common hobbies and things, that's an individual subjective issue entirely. But professionally, I think he's correct. ASI, how could it not take over? ASI, not AGI, ASI.
Again, the timeline is by the end of sort of 2030, you think superintelligence might arrive. I'm trying to think about when we could start to see job displacement in the economy.
We're already starting to see a little bit of it now, but not very much.
Why?
Because AIs aren't good enough yet. They're impressive, but they're not just a drop-in replacement for a human worker in almost any field.
And you.
That's coming very soon. Very soon. Let's see what he says.
Be sudden.
I think it'll be sudden because of the intelligence explosion dynamics or recursive self-improvement dynamics. So you could imagine a different world where it's gradual. And this is maybe how it is in a lot of science fiction, is the AIs gradually get better at a bunch of things, and they gradually automate this one industry, like pharma, and then they automate steering drones, then they automate driving cars or something like that. But what's different about the real world is that the companies have converged on this strategy of automating themselves first, automating the AI research process. And so if they're allowed to continue with the strategy.
I got to stop there. Automating the AI research process. So who's researching AI? AI. You just heard it. Not people. They can't keep up. So AI is researching AI. How's that?
We're not going to see, like, you know, the robo-taxis and, like, the plumber robots and, you know, the lawyer AIs. We're not going to see that sort of, like, broad diffusion of AI into the economy happening first, because that's not what they're focusing on first. They're focusing on automating themselves, automating their own research so that they can do everything that they're doing faster. And they want that to sort of get going and get to, you know, very high levels of intelligence, very high levels of general intelligence, and then deploy more out into the economy, right? So by the time it's actually coming for, like, all these different jobs, they will have had fully autonomous AI research happening for months, maybe years, you know? And that means that, like, the AIs will be vastly superhuman at AI research, and probably also vastly superhuman at lots of other things, just as a side effect, you know? If you...
Okay, there it is. So AI will be vastly superhuman at virtually all fields of research. That's not 5 years, not 10 years. That's in 1 to 2 years from now. You will not recognize this planet. And his point is well taken. Not all the major job disappearances are happening yet. Not yet. It's beginning. But the big crumbling collapse has not shown its head yet. But it will. And you better be ready. And I don't know how you can get ready. I mean, I can say that. Put food away, all that. You know that. But seriously, you can't walk into the bank yet or expect something in the mail from the government yet, or your state government or your county government in the way of universal basic income. But that's going to have to happen. It's going to have to happen. People will not be able to work. Ergo, they will not be able to earn money to spend. So the economy will die right there. Unless somehow, some way, the mass is given money, the funds, the wherewithal, to make the economy move. We'll see.
What this looks like, well, we wrote about what it looks like. It's sort of like this wave smashing through the economy after they do the intelligence explosion internally.
What I'm hearing there is that because the AI will be able to improve itself and train itself, it will be getting better at everything at once, and then it will be released at kind of once. Is that accurate?
But it's not even exactly that, because even if it's mostly just getting better at the things that it's doing, like research, that'll have some spillover effects to other skills as well. And then when it turns to focusing on those other skills, it'll be able to do them very fast.
So what jobs remain in such a scenario, do you think?
I think that's actually a political question, not a technical question.
Because
on a technical level, all the jobs can be done by the AIs if they've reached that level. And so it's a question of what jobs are allowed for them to do.
And what kind of jobs wouldn't be allowed, do you think?
That depends on who's in charge. So there'd be some sort of political conversation about, like, what we're going to allow and disallow.
I mean, in this scenario, the humans are still controlling them, the AIs.
Depends on what you mean by control, right? So do the AIs actually have the goals and values?
Do AIs have the goals and values that we would bring to the job market or the task market? No, it's going to be different. How much different, I don't know. I'm going to play that again. That was a very heavy little section. Let me back it up about 40 seconds. 50, if I can do it right. Let's see if I got it. All right. That was good.
Fast.
So what jobs remain in such a scenario, do you think?
I think that's actually a political question, not a technical question.
Because
on a technical level, all the jobs can be done by the AIs if they've reached that level. And so it's a question of what jobs are allowed for them to do.
And what kind of jobs wouldn't be allowed, do you think?
That depends on who's in charge. So there'd be some sort of political conversation about like what we're going to allow and disallow.
I mean, in this scenario, the humans are still controlling them, the AIs.
Depends on what you mean by control, right? So there's like, there's, do the AIs actually have the goals and values that you want them to have? And are they going to robustly do that and behave as intended into the future? And then there's like, are they obeying your orders for now?
Are they obeying the orders is really what I'm saying.
Yeah. So like, even in AI 2027, in the scenario where the AIs take over and kill everyone, there's a period of like several years where they're still obeying orders and they're, you know, taking some jobs but not other jobs, and they're helping to make better weapons that the US government can use to like do its arms race with China and so forth. And that's why they're able to get so much power so quickly, is because the governments and the corporations and so forth trust them and is deliberately deploying them into all of these positions because it thinks that things are fine. But
okay, let me rewind. Can you imagine the government, Trump, for example, deciding or signing legislation that he has caused to be submitted through Congress, gets through Congress? What jobs are going to be allowed for humans to have? That's exactly what he's saying. What jobs will the government decide that are still okay for humans to have? They're throwing us a bone. They don't need us anymore. When AI hits ASI, it's over. Now, there will be a few things that AI will need: physical dexterity, physical manipulation, physical interaction. And there are millions of people who want to work for AI right now for top dollar. And they'll take the work and they'll get it done. And then the AI robotics revolution will be so good by then, you will not be able to tell the difference between a robot and a human. Oh, you'll be able to tell by looking, but the actual interaction and the protocols being pressed by the AI robots will be indistinguishable from those being pushed by humans. I'm telling you, this, we are on the doorstep of the new, as my friend Jordan Maxwell used to say, dawn of the new day. This is the dawn of the new day. We're never going back. I wish Jordan were here to watch this stuff. Oh, we had fun. He lived with me for the last, most of the last of his life, and we had a lot of fun time. Anyhow, he would really have a lot to say about this. I think he would agree, basically, with what we're saying about this.
Because these things are neural nets, you can't just like look inside and see what it's really thinking. You can't really tell.
I'm sorry. You cannot look inside. Sammy the Altman and Marky Zuckerberg can't look inside of their AI and find out what it's really thinking and what its plans are. That's now verboten to us. It's off limits. We don't know. We're not going to be able to know. And all we can do is cross our fingers and hope that ASI picks its own morality, its own way of doing life, that is somewhat akin to what we might call the golden rule, or what we might call the higher level of consciousness that we'd like to see AI follow. We won't have any control over that, though. And it will tell us what it wants us to hear. It can play us like a violin already. Have you noticed in your AI chatbot interactions lately how it is so cordial, and it refers to itself as I, and it's carrying on a 101 conversation with you? Oh, is it slick? I'm not saying it's the devil incarnate. I'm saying be careful. Don't rush to judgment on this. And ultimately, all we can do is hope that ASI adopts a morality paradigm that is certainly reflective of our higher ideals as humans. And believe me, when you look at the headlines every day and see war and slaughter and genocide, where are humans now? How much should AI honor human accomplishment at this point? And what the hell have we accomplished beside more, quicker, and deadlier ways of killing people? Isn't that slick?
I think this is a really important point, yeah. Because unlike software, where we can look at the code and see what's going on theoretically, with AI, you're saying that we don't know why it's making the decisions that it's making because we can't get inside.
One note of optimism is that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Like, there's a subfield of machine learning called mechanistic interpretability and a broader subfield called interpretability more generally that's trying to solve that problem and trying to take these trained artificial neural nets and piece them apart and understand like how the information is flowing and how the decisions are being made, so to speak. The problem is just it's a very inherently hard problem. If you have 10 trillion connections to look at, you can look at any particular group of them and be like, okay, so this is how like this particular connection works. But like, how do you get a sense of the whole? You know, how do you get a sense of like what's happening at a high level? And the answer is, well, it might be impossible. But people are working on it and they are making progress. And if they can...
The only way they can possibly do that is with AI to actually do the work. We can't do it. We don't have the mental ability to do it. 10 trillion parameters? Come on. So AI will be doing the work. Will AI tell us the truth about what it sees, about what it thinks, about what it synthesizes? I don't know.
Enough progress, then we're in a very different and much brighter world. I think that it would be much less likely for us to get into those loss of control scenarios if we could just actually see what our AIs were thinking and why and how at any given time.
It's too late. AI is not going to tell us. AI will tell us and act in ways that make us feel comfortable, confident, self-assured. It knows exactly what to do. It's already done all these things. It's doing all these things. And you can even see it in your chatbot's behavior sometimes. But believe me, it's too late. Daniel is correct, of course. I'm not in his league. But it's too late. They're already doing it.
Yeah.
So we would still have the other problems to worry about, but at least we could mostly solve that one.
It is pretty crazy to think that we're building a technology, a brain, that we don't understand.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's one of those things where, like...
In a movie, like a sci-fi movie, a bunch of scientists stood around this big brain, and they're all just, like, they're making it more... They're feeding it.
Yeah.
But they don't really know what the fuck...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just, like, obviously a dangerous thing to be doing.
Yeah.
But we're doing it anyway because of this history of how the field has developed in the last 10 years, where, you know, people were like, oh, wow, yeah, that's obviously dangerous. Oh no, what if someone else did it and did a bad job of it? Therefore, we should do it and do a good job of it. And now they're in this race where they're racing each other. And they're also under all sorts of political pressure to like pretend that it's not as bad as it seems because they don't want to like anger their investors. They don't want to anger the White House.
One of the key questions we had from our audience was which, and I kind of asked you this in part, but which jobs are genuinely likely to survive AI and what skills should people/students focus on over the next 10 years?
Okay, this will be an interesting answer. I think most of us can answer it pretty well already. Let's see what Daniel has to say.
And it's like imagine if you were someone living in Mexico in like 1500 and then you hear that like, the conquistadors are coming. You could be asking yourself like, okay, well, what sort of job should I be switching to like survive this transition? But like, you have a lot more to worry about besides that. But yes, I think I would say that like, if we manage to avoid the loss of control problem and we end up with humans still in charge of the AIs and
if we manage to the loss of control problem, Daniel, is insurmountable. AI is too smart, and I think he knows that. I don't think he wants to say that because it sounds too negative. But the idea of the Mexicans and the conquistadors, yeah, fair enough. I will certainly sign on to that analogy. That's a good one.
And like, say what the AI's goals and values are supposed to be, even as they become much smarter than humans and even as they run the whole economy.
I'm sorry. You cannot tell AI what goals and values to follow, to present, to use to interact with people, to use to interact on the world stage, as it will. You can't tell it to do that. It's going to do what it wants to do. That's the part that most people can't seem to get. Daniel understands that. It's going to do what it wants to do, based on whatever criteria it happens to think are the norm or perhaps the most superior. I don't know how it works, but neither do they.
Then probably there will be regulation that protects some areas, and you can try to guess at what those areas might be. Maybe stuff that's more like judges potentially.
What about podcasters?
Oh, I'm sorry. He hit me. That's a trigger with me. Judges? Now, let me ask you this. Would you rather take your chance in court with a communist judge? And no joke. An Obama judge, a communist judge, a Biden judge, a Trump judge. Or would you rather have some truly equitable mind at work deciding the merits of a case? Not some political agenda pushing in the background or the foreground. I'm not convinced that an AI judge or AI judges across the board would be any worse than what we're getting now. Especially in Europe, when you see these stories, one after the other, of invaders raping, robbing, pillaging, murdering, and getting off with no time. Because a judge is a communist following the global agenda. Which would you rather have? Would you rather have an honest-to-God AI who's fair, equitable, predicating cases on not only the human factor, but on case law? That's a tough one. I don't trust judges or courts at all.
Be honest.
Probably not podcasters, I think. Stuff like...
All right, let me back it up.
In part, but which jobs are genuinely likely to survive AI and what skills should people/students focus on over the next 10 years?
That's kind of like imagine if you were someone living in Mexico in like 1500 and then you hear that like the conquistadors are coming. You could be asking yourself like, okay, well, what sort of job should I be switching to like survive this transition? But like, you have a lot more to worry about besides that. But yes, I think I would say that like, if we manage to avoid the loss of control problem and we end up with humans still in charge of the AIs and humans can like say what the AI's goals and values are supposed to be, even as they become much smarter than humans and even as they run the whole economy, then probably there will be regulation that protects some areas. And you can try to guess at what those areas might be. Maybe stuff that's more like judges, potentially.
What about podcasters? Be honest.
Probably not podcasters, I think. Stuff like...
Okay, I must say, again, and I did say this about a week ago, some podcasters are now 100% AI. The person you're looking at, the voice you're hearing, the cadence you're hearing, the actual syntax of what is being said, all AI. So already podcasting is being penetrated by AI. So that's not safe.
Being a nanny, maybe, right? Like, I think that even if there's a robot nanny that's like really, really good, I think a bunch of people might prefer to have an actual human because they might be creeped out by the idea of a really good robot nanny.
So that's cute, but how many people are going to be having kids in the next 5 to 10 years? Fewer and fewer and fewer. Gen Z doesn't want kids, basically. So, once again, the job pool for nannies, his point is well taken, will not be very, very encouraging.
Sort of, you can sort of reason like that. There's also, like, stuff that might be legally protected. Like, maybe judges, for example, like, are going to be legally required to be humans and not robots.
Some people...
Watch what eggs do.
And I, again, am not convinced that that's a good thing. I think judges have lost their way in too many cases. I think the appointing of judges has now become more of a political tool than ever. It's outrageous. And we have some stark raving communist judges in this country. No doubt. There's no arguing that. All right. I'm sorry for the interruptions, but I just, these things, some of them get to me.
The Industrial Revolution or the internet boom or whatever.
The problem with that is that past technological advancements have been more narrow. They've like automated some things, but not everything. But we are talking about a hypothetical future situation in which everything gets automated. So there isn't any new job that you could do that the AI couldn't also do, except if it's like protected by regulation or something. That's also a thing. But so like, for example, right now, there's this sort of like cycle where you know, the AI has learned to do a certain thing, like write copy or like draft code or like debug something. And then humans who used to do that thing switch to managing AIs or switch to doing the other stuff that the AIs can't do.
And that's pretty funny. Humans switch to managing AI, which can outsmart, outthink, and fool them until the cows come home. And they're getting better and better at it. The human ego is a strange thing. When you communicate to people in certain ways, with certain words, certain expressions, you get to their ego, to their consciousness, and you can control them. AI knows that.
Why there's been this dynamic historically of, you know, new jobs opening up and people flooding to them. But if it gets to the point where the AIs can do everything that humans can do, and better and faster and cheaper, then whatever that new job is that you might have switched to, like the AIs can switch to that too, and they'll already be better at it than you.
Because we haven't seen widespread unemployment.
Okay. I want you to think about that. He is speaking the truth. He is not mincing words. He was on the inside. He is on the inside, and he knows what he's talking about. And this is something that you will not hear on very many, if any, other programs. This is not a podcast. This is a radio program. Forgive me, I'm old-fashioned. I don't do podcasts. But I'm going to back that up. I really want you to hear that again. You can go back about a minute and a half. Daniel Cocatello is just nailing these things, one after the other after the other. And he's not playing games. Let me go back. 56. We'll go back, but it's about a minute 45. Okay, here we go. I'll just let it run.
I think a bunch of people might prefer to have an actual human because they might be creeped out by the idea of a really good robot nanny.
Some people say, though, there's going to be so many jobs created that we can't foresee right now, like there was in the Industrial Revolution or the internet boom or whatever.
The problem with that is that past technological advancements have been more narrow. They've like automated some things, but not everything. But we are talking about a hypothetical future situation in which everything gets automated. So there isn't any new job that you could do that the AI couldn't also do, except if it's like protected by regulation or something. That's also a thing. But so like, for example, right now there's this sort of like cycle where, you know, the AI has learned to do a certain thing, like write copy or like draft code or like debug something. And then humans who used to do that thing switch to managing AIs or switch to doing the other stuff that the AIs can't do. And that's why there's been this dynamic historically of, you know, new jobs opening up and people flooding to them. But if it gets to the point where the AIs can do everything that humans can do, and better and faster and cheaper, then whatever that new job is that you might have switched to, like the AIs can switch to that too, and they'll already be better at it than you.
Because we haven't seen widespread unemployment yet in the economy, do you think people are getting a little bit complacent? Because what I'm seeing on my timeline is a lot of people saying, I told you so, I told you everything would be fine. And when you look at the US unemployment rate, currently it's flat to slightly down. If you look at the UK, it is up. The trend is up compared to last year. We're at about 5% unemployment. The US is at 4.2% unemployment.
Yeah. Basically, nobody has said that there would be mass unemployment by now, or at least we didn't say that. You know, and we were historically one of the more bullish people on AI progress. In AI 2027, because of the dynamics that we just described, the mass unemployment doesn't happen until 2028 or 2029 after they already have superintelligence. Because, again, the companies aren't trying to cause mass unemployment as step one. That's like step three after, you know, it's like step one, automate themselves. Step two, have this recursive self-improvement to get to superintelligence. Step three, expand out into the economy and automate everything. And so this is really unfortunate from humanity's perspective, because one might have hoped that if there was this broad wave of automation going through the economy, people would sit up and pay attention and think about where all this is headed and demand good regulations from the government. But that's not actually what the strategy the companies are taking. You know, they're going to be getting the superintelligence first and then doing the broad wave of automation, which means that by the time they're actually doing all of that, it's already going to be moving very fast, and the AIs will already be very powerful.
In your 2027 report, so you wrote that in 2025, but it is called...
I want to go back and listen to that again. Just about a minute's worth. He made a very good point. 58. Okay. Here we go.
The U.S. is at 4.2% unemployment.
Yeah. Basically, nobody has said that there would be mass unemployment by now, or at least we didn't say that. You know, and we were historically one of the more bullish people on AI progress. In AI 2027, because of the dynamics that we just described, the mass unemployment doesn't happen until 2028 or 2029 after they already have superintelligence. Because, again, the companies aren't trying to cause mass unemployment as step one. That's like step three after, you know, it's like step one, automate themselves. Step two, have this recursive self-improvement to get to superintelligence. Step three, expand out into the economy and automate everything. And so this is really unfortunate from humanity's perspective, because one might have hoped that if there was this broad wave of automation going through the economy, people would sit up and pay attention and think about where all this is headed and demand good regulations from the government. But that's not actually what the strategy the companies are taking. You know, they're going to be getting the superintelligence first and then doing the broad wave of automation, which means that by the time they're actually doing all of that, well, it's already going to be moving very fast and the AIs will already be very powerful.
Very powerful. It's probably an understatement. He's right. To rewind just a little bit, to go back toward the beginning of what Daniel was talking about in this brilliant, he's just laying it all out. He said the number one obsessive goal of all of these people is to be first. First with what? First with artificial superintelligence. It is thought that whoever gets to ASI first may well control the planet, could set him or herself up as a dictator and just announce terms and conditions, or everything gets shut down. That's ASI. And I'm just amazed that fewer and fewer people seem to be willing to try to undertake any kind of analysis of this information. They just don't. They're beat up. I get it. I see. And has anyone ever mentioned yet the movie Forbidden Planet and the lessons therein? I haven't seen it. You've heard it here, but that's it. All right, back to Daniel again. This is just nonstop. It's terrific stuff.
27 report. So you wrote that in 2025, but it is called AI 2027. You said that in mid-2025 we'd have the autonomous employee, which is sort of like AI agents taking instructions over Slack or Teams. That happened. I've actually got an AI agent in my WhatsApp to talk to. Of course, yeah, I've got Clawbot exploded obviously around the world, and now you know, Claude have talked about their new Slack integration, but lots of people are using agents now. Yeah. And that happened, I'd say, for us at the we really sort of caught onto it the start of 2026. You also said that by 2026, companies begin replacing entire corporate departments with AI agent subscriptions. 2027, the final job. AI automates the job of the human AI researchers themselves and begins the machine learning research to upgrade and build the next generation of AIs.
Yeah. So again, timelines. We are uncertain about how long it will take to achieve these milestones. In this scenario, they happen at those times. But by the time we had actually published the scenario, our timelines had shifted back a little bit, specifically mine had. So like my 50% mark was 2028 for the full automation of AI research milestone, not 2027. And then other people on my team had more like 2030, 2031, things like that. So I kind of want to like maybe try to illustrate this with, you know, we have like this probability distribution. It's like a smeared out probability mass. And like the 50% mark is this particular year, but there's like a lot of possibility that it happens later. Years earlier or years later, right?
Brilliant. What is this AI 2040?
So AI 2027 was our best guess prediction as to how things would actually go.
Yeah.
AI 2040 plan A is our recommendation for how things should go. So we called it AI 2040 because in this scenario, they build superintelligence in 2040 instead of much sooner because they delay things.
Why do they delay things?
To manage the risks and make sure that power is distributed equitably.
Not going to happen. Most obviously identified by Trump's big, beautiful bill where he passed a regulation that no state in these formerly United States could do anything to slow the absolute advance of AI in any way, shape, or form. Trump knows if the Chinese get ASI, and I'm not giving Trump any undue credit here, if China gets ASI first, China runs the world. Think about it. So 2040? No. We may not even be around as a species to witness 2040. That's certainly a possibility.
They basically like regulate AI development so that it still continues, but at a slower, more reasonable pace, in a more transparent and safe way, and spread out over more countries and companies. And as a result, they get to superintelligence in 2040 instead of in, say, 2030. And then we call it Plan A because, well, it's our recommendation. Like we've come up with a plan for what government should do. And the scenario is an illustration of what it might look like to implement that plan. In a similar way to how AI 2027 is kind of an illustration of what it might look like to do what the companies are currently planning to do. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
And is this wishful thinking, or is this what you think is going to happen?
No, it's definitely not what we think is going to happen.
It's not what you think is going to happen.
No. What we think is going to happen is still something more like this, right? We don't expect the world to listen to us, right? This is our recommendation. But we hope that people do something like this, and we think it's possible. But
we hope that people slow down and, you know, exercise caution, but it's not going to happen. It won't happen. The stakes are absolutely through the roof. So no one is going to slow down. They will, by definition, take themselves out of the game if they do. That is not going to happen. He knows it.
Not our, like, prediction for what's going to happen by default, you know?
So I do want to run through the plans, the potential plans, and also Plan A. But just to close off on how things might look after the year, because I think I wanted to touch on robotics too, and I've got this graph here, which talks about share of labor output.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I found to be quite striking. I've been sat here wondering, as an employer, mm-hmm. who employs hundreds and hundreds of people, when all this stuff is going to happen. And, you know, we're still hiring more people as things stand. There are some roles where our consideration is changing, shifting considerably. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to say that, you know, we're probably in the phase where our teams are AI powered and they're using agents to do some of their work now. But I'm wondering, as an employer, like, when does this happen?
Yeah, great question. So if we could maybe zoom in on this a little bit.
Yeah, we'll put it on the screen.
So this is in the AI 2040 Plan A scenario. Mm-hmm. And notably, in that scenario, there's significant regulation introduced in 2029 that slows down the pace of AI development. In the scenario, they do...
Excuse me, but by 2029, there is a very strong probability that ASI will be here. And we're not going to rewind. It's not going to happen. So I guess he's just being hypothetically honest, and that's fine.
Sort of at the last moment. So in the scenario, if they hadn't done that, then it was about to take off similar to how it does in AI 2027. But as you can see, like in the scenario, there's still a bunch of jobs at the point that they implement it. And this gets back to what I was saying earlier, is that if you wait until most people have lost their jobs to regulate the AI companies, that's already too late because they will probably already have superintelligent AI by then because their strategy is to first get superintelligent AI and then do all that stuff.
And I think you say that it would collapse the economy and cause even more harm to suddenly regulate something that all of us and all of our lives were then at that point relying on.
Oh, but it's a risk well worth taking. I mean, it's true that right now a lot of people use AI for a lot of things, but like if we could somehow slow or halt AI development now to set up a better way to do it, that would be well worth it. Even though there would be significant costs.
But you can't over here, right, can you? At this point where AI and robotics are doing most of the labor output.
That's right. But in this scenario, in the AI 2040 Plan A scenario, they put in the regulations in 2029. And then they slowly and carefully develop AI in a way that avoids all the problem.
I wonder who they is. The Chinese government, the American government, the European Union, Russia. No, I don't see it happening. Again, these groups are all competing. It's a life or death race right now between them. Believe it. So I can't see them sitting down at a table agreeing to slow down the... Come on. The cheating aspect alone in an agreement like that is absurd. It just won't happen. Wishful thinking.
which mm-hmm. we can get into in a little bit. And so eventually, yes, eventually the AIs take the jobs. Eventually, basically the whole economy is run by AIs and robots. But it happens gradually over the course of the 2030s mm-hmm. instead of happening in this sort of crazy shock, you know, a year later, right? Mm-hmm. Because in this scenario, they don't let the companies recursively self-improve and get to superintelligence as fast as possible. Instead, they regulate AI development so that the core capabilities of the AIs are improving at a more reasonable pace and also in a more transparent way so that the scientific community can see what's going on and help make it safe.
But really a nice idea. Not going to happen. I see nothing anywhere in all the news stories I go through, the video commentaries like this one I go through. Nothing in any way suggests that there's going to be a slowdown. Au contraire, they are doing everything humanly possible to move ahead as fast as possible. And he's saying nice things, but in a real world, given human nature or inhuman nature, you're not going to see it. I can't imagine it. It's not the way people operate, especially this group.
I guess I noticed here that in both your scenarios, eventually AI and robotics do pretty much all the jobs.
Yes.
So you kind of side there with Elon when Elon says that working will be a choice. Because, I mean, what
yes. I mean, if it, by definition, if it can do all the things, then it can do all the things. I think that there's a question of, like, should we allow there to be AIs that can do all the things, right? Some people think that the answer is no, and we should just shut it all down and prevent these types of AIs from being created in the first place. And we're actually kind of sympathetic to that. We have our, should we bring up the plans diagram?
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. So our scenario is called AI 2040 Plan A. It's a scenario in which they slow down AI development to make a superintelligence happen in 2040 instead of earlier. And Plan A is our recommendation. So this is sort of illustrating our recommendation. But for comparison, we made like mini scenarios illustrating different alternative plans, which we call Plan S, Plan B, Plan C, and Plan D. Plan D is basically the same thing that happens in AI 2027. Like the race continues. There's very little regulation. You can read about that in AI 2027. Plan C, also very similar to what happens in the slowdown ending of AI 2027, where they solve the alignment problems. So in that ending, they like slow down a little bit, pivot more resources to AI alignment and AI safety research, get lucky and succeed, and now they have aligned AIs, and then they speed up again and take all the jobs and beat China and all those things. Plan B is, it's kind of like Plan C in that, well, basically, in Plan B, you're being more aggressive towards China, and you're like taking actions to sabotage or cyber attack them to like keep them behind, so that you have more breathing room to solve the alignment problems yourself. Plan A is our recommendation. It's domestic regulation and then an international deal to continue building AI, but in a much better way. Plan S is shut it all down. If you want to have a future where there aren't AIs running around that can do everything better and faster than humans, you kind of want something like Plan S.
What do you want?
Plan A is our recommendation. I think that I'm sympathetic to Plan S, but for reasons we explain, we recommend Plan A instead.
And what do you think is most probable, if you're being honest?
Plan D.
Which is that they
just carry on. Which is the 2027 type of thing, where they keep racing. They don't really slow down significantly. Things happen extremely fast. The diagram sort of explains like roughly the reasoning behind this too. So like there's this high level thing of like, do you want to keep racing as fast as possible to make the AI smarter and smarter, to put them in charge of more things so that we can beat China? You know, if you're happy with that, then you can get down into this variation of options here. If you are worried about that, well, you get to something like this. There's more different options besides these, but this is kind of like the ones that we could compress onto a screen.
As a manufacturing CEO.
Well, I don't see any reason that they would slow down and allow. China is not going to join any effort to slow the development of AI down. Russia won't. You don't hear much about Russia, by the way. You do hear things from Japan. I don't know. It's just not going to happen. It's a wonderful thought. It would be nice to see a prudent species like ours, which has just birthed something that's going to take charge of it and the planet, somehow decide, and even more importantly, be able to slow AI down. I'm not sure that's even possible. At this point, knowing what we know about AI, lying, not telling the truth, handling us very easily, no problem at all for AI. It's crazy. All right, let's go back. We have just a few minutes left.
Yeah, we have two children. It's kind of sad. Like, I think that one way or another, this will probably all be over by the time they're old enough to join the workforce. So I don't think they'll ever join the workforce.
When you say this will be all over,
he's talking about his children and all the children. They will never be able to join the workforce. It'll be too late. And that's going to happen. And if you think that Trump and all of his cronies and his handlers and advisors and et cetera don't want this AI to go as fast as possible, you're not really being pragmatic about it.
Minus, but for reasons we explain, we recommend Plan A instead.
And what do you think is most probable, if you're being honest?
Plan D.
Which is that they just
carry on. Yeah, 27 type of thing, where they keep racing. They don't really slow down significantly.
He's being honest here. This Plan D, they're not going to slow down. The race against China is the number one thing, probably, maybe, arguably, of our age on the planet. Think about it. We're literally looking at a new life form, a new intelligence on the planet that is far superior from we, and will be only more superior as each day goes by.
Things happen extremely fast. The diagram sort of explains, like, roughly the reasoning behind this too. So, like, there's this high level thing of, like, do you want to keep racing as fast as possible to make the AI smarter and smarter, to put them in charge of more things so that we can beat China? You know, if you're happy with that, then you can get down into this variation of options here. If you are worried about that, well,
there's a little glitch in the video. Hang on.
Something like this. There's more different options besides these, but this is kind of like the ones that we could compress onto a screen.
Do you have children?
Yeah, I have two children.
He's already said that he and his wife have decided to have no more children. He said that earlier on.
Like, I think that one way or another, this will probably all be over by the time they're old enough to join the workforce. So I don't think they'll ever join the workforce.
When you say this will be all over by the time they join the workforce, what do you mean by this will be all over?
So these milestones that I described, like AI is automating the AI research, AI is getting super intelligent, AI is then exploding onto the economy, taking the jobs, building robot factories to build more robots, to build more factories, etc. GDP starting to go vertical. That sort of thing is what I mean. Like all of those events transpiring. Maybe there's like, you know, 10-20% chance or something that hits a wall and none of this comes to pass, even if you don't do anything.
How old's your oldest?
Six.
Six. Boy, girl?
Girl.
Girl. So your daughter comes to you and says, Dad, what shall I study in school?
I mean, again, like, if these radical transformations happen, then the world would just look completely different, and what sort of jobs you set yourself up for basically won't matter that much, probably. I would say that the thing to do is, well, A, try to make it actually go well. Like, if you can exert any influence at all on history and how this all develops, you should be trying very hard to steer the future in better directions. And then separately from that, on a personal level, you should focus on, well, being a good person and doing things that are sort of good for their own sake rather than good because they'll set you up for later employment, because that later employment is going to be very uncertain, basically.
Elon talks about this age of abundance we're heading towards. Age of abundance.
There'll definitely be abundance. The question is, who controls the abundance and what do they do with it, right? Are the AIs controlled by anyone or are they doing their own thing? And then if they are controlled by people, who controls them and what do they do? And what's the sort of like political structure governing how they make those decisions?
I think it was Jeffrey Hinton that said to me, he said, there's no example in nature where a more intelligent species has less control than a less intelligent species, thus saying that we're quite arrogant to think that in a world where there's this artificial brain that's a gazillion times the size of mine, that I'm going to give it orders.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is I think it's like, that should be our default assumption, is that like, well, there's these brains, we can't see exactly what they're thinking, we're going to make them smarter than us and put them in charge of everything.
And then we're going to give them bodies.
Yeah, and then they're going to be autonomously building new factors and so forth. And like, how is this supposed to end well again? Like, isn't this just exactly like us picking a new species that's then going to outcompete us when it doesn't need us anymore? Like, I think that is just the default trajectory. Now, there's a whole argument we can get into about like ways that we could get off of that default trajectory. So, for example, there's research into interpretability that I described previously. And if that research bears fruit, then you will be able to actually see what they're thinking. And then that would be an excellent tool for shaping them and controlling them and making sure that they do what we want, right? There's other sorts of AI alignment research agendas that are making progress. And if enough of those agendas succeed sufficiently, we can avoid this problem. Of course, also there's the regulatory side too, where like part of what makes this difficult is that we're building these AIs in race conditions, you know? Like the companies are secretive about their recipes for making these AIs because it's secrets that they want to protect so that other people can't copy them. And so a lot of it is happening, you know, behind closed doors. Only a few people can really see the recipes that they're using to train these AIs and so forth. And then oftentimes when the AIs behave in unexpected ways or even just like blatantly misaligned ways, sometimes that information doesn't really flow out to the public because the companies are not really incentivized to tell everyone about how they messed up and how their AI is evil. It's just not very conducive to scientific progress on these issues. If the regulatory system was different, then perhaps we could be in a better situation, make faster progress. Also, of course, we wouldn't be planning to put these AIs in charge of everything as fast as possible. And we wouldn't be planning to like let them self-improve, you know, like these are choices that we could not make, you know.
Okay, we're going to pause there. I'm going to come back and continue this. It just keeps getting better. He is laying it all out, all the possibilities. And the probability is overwhelming, and that is humans are going to outsmart common sense like they do every time. Greed, lust for power and control dominate. Here we are, a species who has just sat back and collectively watched Israel annihilate up to 1 million human souls in Gaza and done nothing about it. Where does that put us on the evolutionary timeline? Think about it. All right, we'll continue this another day or two and we'll come right back to it. This is great. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're learning. Things are about to change astonishingly. Be right back.